Next week, North Shore property owners have a chance to help support stormwater management for the Lake Superior Coastal Zone. All it takes is 2 hours of your time to take part in a focus group. Here to tell us more is Tom Beery, resilience specialist with the Minnesota Sea Grant. Welcome to the Roadhouse, Tom.
Yeah, hello.
Well, Tom, I'm certainly honored to speak with you. I heard your interview with Joe Fredericks about a month ago, so I'm so pleased that we can bring you back right in time for the event.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And you are a resilience specialist. I just love the sound of that title, Tom. How does one become a resilience specialist?
You got to be a super flexible guy, you know?
And resilient.
Yeah. No, well,
it's great work. It's with the Minnesota Sea Grant, and you're certainly fighting the good fight, I think, for all of us. Battling climate change and mitigation and adaptation, I think, are certain specialties you have. Talk about your job a little bit, Tom.
Yeah, that is. You nailed it. My all of the work I do either surrounds climate mitigation or climate adaptation. So I'm just super excited about what research or programs can help engage communities in both reducing our contributions to greenhouse gases and preparing for the current and projected changes that that we are experiencing and are projected to experience more of. So looking forward.
That's right, being proactive.
That's right.
Part of that is engaging the citizens. And you've got, it looks like, a series of open house focus groups scheduled now, starting in Grand Marais this Monday on the 14th from 6 to 8 at the Log Cabin here at the Community Center. And you're going to engage the private landowners on the shore and talk about green infrastructure for stormwater management. What is green infrastructure? I know, Joe, you guys covered that, but let's catch up on that concept.
Yeah, you bet. Green infrastructure is sort of a fancy way of saying restoring nature's functions. So whether you're in Duluth or Grand Marais, you know, we look around and we see that there's so much of our environment that is built and is impervious because of, you know, asphalt roads and that sort of thing. So when we think of green infrastructure, we often think, how do we regain nature's functions in places where we've lost it? You know, and lost it for good reasons. I mean, we need roads, we need our homes and all of that, but because of the impact of built environments, we need to think, okay, how do we do our best to recapture water infiltration, whether we're thinking water quality or whether we're thinking managing stormwater or whether we're thinking, you know, healthy wetlands that contribute to biodiversity. There's all kinds of reasons why we want to bring those functions back. And so green infrastructure is a nice way of talking about that.
Could you give us some real examples, something I can visualize?
You bet. So there are a lot of in a lot of our communities, the current climate changes that we're experiencing are leading to more severe storms. I know that you've got certain parking lots down right down in town in Grand Marais that flood all too regularly, you know, out in front of the co-op and that sort of thing. And a part of why we're getting those floods, those, you know, flash floods in Grand Marais and Duluth and other places, is because we live in an area that has steep slopes or, you know, a topography. We have a lot of clay soils in different parts of the Lake Superior Basin. So when water hits the ground, it starts running downhill towards the lake. And of course, if we have wetlands, if we have forested zones, that water is often slowed. And if it's slowed, then there's often time for it to, you know, percolate through the soil. But because of our built environment, that water often doesn't get slowed. And so it races down to the lake, and on the way it floods. So there are one example of green infrastructure to handle that problem would be rain gardens. you know, and in a sense, what they do is they create temporary wetlands, so very shallow depressions of shrubbery and plant, you know, a mix of vegetation that 99% of the time can just look pretty, can just look like lovely vegetation and be good for birds and pollinators. But during that 1% of the time when we have severe weather events, they can serve as catchment, and they can store water, slow water, and we're seeing these pop up, you know, more and more. New building design is including rain gardens around parking lots, or including rain gardens in, you know, community green space and whatnot. And sometimes we sort of overlook them because they just look like pretty gardens. It's not until we get a big rain that we really see, oh yeah, there's the function.
Sure. And as you mentioned, we're getting those 100-year storms seem to be more common. Have you any statistics on those 6-inch, you know, 5-inch rain events?
Yeah, what I can tell you is they are increasing, and because we have, you know, historically there have been 5-inch rain events, and there's been 1-inch rain events, but because that they're happening so much more regularly, climatologists around the state of Minnesota and around the country are saying that the whole idea of a 100-year flood or 500-year flood is sort of meaningless because we don't really understand what it means anymore. So it is a tough statistic. I can't really give you like a revised 100-year flood because it is in flux. But we do have data to show how there is a trend towards more of these severe weather events in the Minnesota Lake Superior coastal zone.
No doubt. You know, just anecdotally speaking, in the last 10 years, I think of 2 or 3 of these 6-inch or more rain events all up and down the shore. Of course, South Shore usually gets it a little worse. Duluth's had their floods. It's certainly got to be bringing down those averages. But the
Absolutely.
Truth is, we're in the Lake Superior Basin, the slopes, the bottom of the hill gets washed out, stormwater management. Is it more challenging in our climate and our topography than, say, flatland Nebraska? Do they manage stormwater in Iowa on the flats?
Well, yeah, you know, it really, you're bringing up a good point, because stormwater management is really a localized issue. You know, it really depends on bedrock type or soil type, topography, as you mentioned, and land use. You know, so if an area, much of northeastern Minnesota, especially if you head west from Grand Marais and you get into sort of north central Minnesota, we have expansive wetlands. And wetlands, of course, do a tremendous ecosystem service. Many ecosystem services, meaning that they really benefit nature in so many ways and benefit people in so many ways. And one way they do is by holding water when we have these severe events. Your question was, you know, our challenge. Our challenge right here is really the topography. Different parts of the North Shore had, like down here around Duluth, we have a lot of clay soils that the water doesn't move through very easily. So then you add the built environment, and it really does add up. So we do have a greater challenge than other parts of the state.
Well, it's nice to have Minnesota Sea Grant at work for us. We're speaking with Tom Beery. He's the resilience specialist with Minnesota Sea Grant, a busy man indeed, working the shore all weekend. It looks like a show at Sugarloaf Cove tomorrow, and then the real focus of our interview, a series of workshops, open house focus groups, infrastructure focus groups, I think you're calling them, to gather input from citizens. The first one here in Grand Marais on Monday the 14th, 6 p.m. at the Log Cabin Building. Could you give us some idea what those focus groups will entail, Tom? What are you guys hoping to gain from private landowners?
You bet. Now, this is a big ask, because what I'm looking for is residents of Grand Marais area to show up on Monday and help us what we're doing is we are looking at creating or organizing materials that will help private landowners control stormwater on their own property, with the idea that if the private landowners work together sort of in concert with municipal actors like engineers for the county and engineers with the city and that sort of thing, if we're all thinking stormwater management together, we have potential to really manage these severe weather events effectively. Now, there's a lot of good resources out there. There are websites, there's books, there's brochures, there are great presentations that from time to time pop up. And we're looking at organizing it a little bit better for the North Shore, localizing it. I was just looking at materials for Portland, Oregon and Burlington, Vermont that are very specialized to those areas. And that's what we want to do for the North Shore. And so what we'll do on Monday night in Grand Marais is ask participants to look at some of these materials and give us their feedback. You know, what diagrams they prefer, what information was easiest to understand, what method they most like to get information, you know, online, paper, hard copy, et cetera. So I have a lot of questions. There's a lot of discussion. It'll work sort of like I present, we discuss, I present, we discuss, folks go online, check out some resources, we discuss, we'll stop midway, eat some pie, drink some coffee, you know, and we'll try to make it relaxed, informal, enjoyable. I hope to provide information so that that folks come and they learn something, but to be perfectly honest, I want to learn from people in Grand Marais. So that's what it's all about.
That's great, Tom. Makes sense, as a focus group should be, that give and take. And, you know, I thought I saw someone here as far as private landowners, Lake Superior ownership. Does it matter who's invited? Can anyone from the community, from the county? You don't need to own Lakeshore, I presume.
No. I mean, we did write it that way in the sense of, you know, we're looking for people that are interested or potentially willing to take action. But, of course, there's many folks that might be interested in the process, or folks that rent, that there's all kinds of measures we can take. So it certainly, folks do not need to be, you know, a landowner per se, but interested, engaged.
Great. And that's at the Grand Marais, kicking off the focus group tour Monday the 14th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Log Cabin. Should folks sign up, Tom? Is there an RSVP site or just show up?
Yeah.
How are you handling
that? Worst case scenario, show up.
Sure.
But if you have a chance, it helps me with numbers. You know, I got to know how much pie and all that good stuff. Folks should email me at, should I give you that email address right now?
Sure,
is that okay?
Sure.
That's tbeery@d.umn.edu.
Perfect.
And then I send out just a little more information so that I make sure everybody that's showing up on Monday has the information they need. We are, if I could just squeeze in here too, on Tuesday, we're going to be back in Duluth. And so if any of your listeners would prefer to attend a session at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night in Duluth at our Sea Grant offices, I can get them that information and they would be most welcome. And then on Wednesday night, we're going up to Two Harbors and we're going to be at the Cedar Cafe, which is just on the edge of town. It's a part of the Spoken Gear bicycle shop, the coffee shop, bike shop, a really cool place. And that's going to be 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday. And again, if any of your listeners would prefer to meet up with us in Two Harbors, they would be most welcome.
Oh, that's great, Tom. And sort of the back-to-back-to-back nature of this, I bet, is going to really infuse you with, you know, three different great groups over three different nights. What a nice strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, then so what's the timeline on this project, Tom? When would these discussions will continue? You'll collect emails, I'm sure, and share your materials. When are you hoping to issue some sort of a guide?
Yeah, I tell you, It works like this. I funded this project through the Lake Superior, Minnesota Lake Superior Coastal Program funding, which, you know, is really a collaboration between the Minnesota DNR and the and NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So they put up a small amount of money so that I could do this research, and then I submit that research back. But that's step one. Then I need to take all the, you know, what I've learned from these focus groups, and we need to find a way to fund, you know, whether it's a website, whether it's booklets, whether it's, you know, based on what we learn. So I have to be honest here. Stage two, I don't know exactly the timeline on that, but what I'm doing right now, I will have results and will send results to every participant no later than August 1st. I will have pulled together all the different things we're doing on this first stage, so at least folks can see that we're moving forward.
Oh, that, excuse me. That's great, Tom. You'll keep us engaged, keep us updated, and excellent strategy with pie and coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the 6 to 8 o'clock hour, that's in Grand Marais here on Monday on the 14th at the Log Cabin Building. Tom Beery, a resilience specialist, will be gathering your input on green infrastructure for stormwater management in the Lake Superior Coastal Basin. So thanks so much for your time this evening, Tom, and your hard work. How about a teaser on your show tomorrow at Sugarloaf?
Well, yeah, the good folks at Sugarloaf have invited me. What they're doing is Margie Menzies is one of the good folks at Sugarloaf, and she is one of the trainers for the Minnesota Master Naturalist program. So there's a group that will be graduating tomorrow as Master Naturalists, meaning that they're folks super interested in all things natural history going on in the world around us, and they get a special training, and much like Master Gardeners, then they're charged with going out into their communities and being a real resource, you know. So when you've got cool insects crawling around in your garden, you want to know what they are, or there's a bird singing out, you know, down at Artist Point, you want to know what it is. You've got people right in your community to turn to for good natural history information. So they're kind of concluding their training tomorrow. And I'm doing one last presentation for them, just looking at what are the climate projections for our area? And I'll be presenting data from Dr. Kenny Blumenfeld at the Minnesota the Climate Office at the U of M. He is a DNR climatologist. And then I'm also going to talk about, you know, what more specifically then, what does this data mean? How do we, you know, mitigate or adapt given these current experience and projections? So it's going to be all things climate for at least an hour tomorrow at Sugarloaf.
That's right. 10 a.m. looks like Great Lake, Great Change. So great chance to catch Tom Beery in person. And then Monday is the focus group here in Grand Marais, 6 p.m. RSVP to TBEERY at d.umn.edu. Tom, thanks so much for your time. I'm hoping you have a lovely weekend on the shore and keep fighting.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks to everything that WTIP does. We really see you folks as terrific partners up north. So thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Yep. Bye-bye now.